Good evening and welcome to this evening's concert. My name is Tom Mann. I'm the president of Davis and Elkins College, and it's my great pleasure on behalf of the entire college community to welcome you to this evening's performance. It's always a pleasure to look out and see both so many new faces who have come to Augusta for the workshop, people that we haven't seen before, but also so many familiar faces, people who've come back year after year to support this program, and also people from the Elkins-Randolph County area. We have a great show for you tonight. I invite you, while you're here on our campus, to enjoy our people, our facilities, and this evening's concert. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a great time this evening, and thanks for being here.
Am I a dork or what? Look at this. This is a concept too. I thought about this. I didn't just do it. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the Augusta Heritage Workshops Week 4 Bluegrass Concert. How y'all doing? Yeehaw. Got a couple of announcements. We actually have one announcement tonight. Oh, by the way, pardon the cap. I had to wear it tonight because I got a bunch of complaints from the light guys and the camera guys about the reflection. Please, we ask that you do not tape the concerts, and we ask that no photos whatsoever be taken, because, as I have said before to you people, they are distracting to the artist and other audience members. Thank you for your cooperation, and wait for the applause to enter or leave through the doors, which would be the appropriate way to enter or leave. All right, we're going to jump right into it again. Our first artist is Suzanne Thomas. Yeehaw! She's a founding member of the illustrious Hot Mud family, which she played about 20 years for. She toured with the Dry Branch Fire Squad for 9 years. She's taught at the Augusta Heritage Workshops, this time as number 5, I believe. She has a solo recording on Rounder Records, and I present to you Suzanne Thomas.
Thank you. When I was a little girl, there was a television show that was on every day, and it was called Uncle Bob's Lucky 13 Ranch. And it was a show that little kids could go to, and I got to go to the Uncle Bob's Lucky 13 Ranch for my fifth birthday. And for the occasion, my parents had bought me a Roy Rogers cowboy suit. Roy Rogers was on TV, and I was a huge fan of Roy Rogers, and people would say, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I'd say, I'm going to be a cowboy. And they say, oh no, you have to be a cowgirl. I'd seen Dale Evans. I was holding out to be a cowboy. So I'm going to start with a cowboy song. There is a man you hear about most every place you go. His holdings are in Texas, and his name is Diamond Joe. And he carries all his money in his diamond-studded jaw. And he never was much bothered by the process of the law. Well, I hired with Diamond Joe boys. I did offer him my hand, and he gave me a string of horses so old they could not stand. And I like to starve to death, boys, Oh, he did mistreat me so. And I never saved a dollar in the pay of Diamond Joe. Well, the bread, it was corn dodgers, and the meat you could not chaw. And he drove me near distracted by the wagging of his jaw. In the telling of his stories, oh, won't you boys to know that there never was a rounder who could lie like Diamond Joe? Well, I tried three times to quit him. Oh, but he did argue so. And I'm still punching cattle in the pay of Diamond Joe. But when I'm called up yonder, and it comes my time to go, give my blankets to my buddies and give the fleas to Diamond Joe. There is a man you hear about most every place you go. His holdings are in Texas, and his name is Diamond Joe.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. I guess that's a folk song, because I learned that from Jack Elliott back in the days when I first started out performing and I was passing for folk. One of the most fun things for me about Augusta, and thank you for all of you coming out and supporting Augusta. This is an amazing and wonderful program to see all the young talent and the great things that come out of an atmosphere like this. But one of my favorite parts is getting to play and sing with so many great musicians and good friends. And I'd like to call one of these people out with me now, one of my favorite singers, one of my favorite mandolin players, one of my favorite banjo players, one of my favorite guitar players, and one of my favorite really funny people. It sounds like I'm introducing a whole band, and in a way I am. I'd like to bring out Paul Kovac. And his partner in crime and mine, the wonderful, the charming, delightful, and lovely star of stage, screen, television, and best-selling author, I believe, isn't it?
And tap dancer.
And tap dancer. The beautiful Brian Wicklund. We're going to do a Ray Price song. Or Hank Williams. Tell me that you care, but now you're gone, you got me crying. No use denying, you done me wrong. If I could look inside your heart, maybe I would know the reason why you are leaving me all alone. Well, you know it's not so when you say you lied. Well, you know you lied, I didn't do one wrong thing.
I miss you only, for I love you. Sad, for you'd be mad enough to hurt me and desert me for so long. Well, you're telling everyone what you've done, you think it's funny. Now listen, honey, you done me wrong. Well, you know it's not so when you say you lie. Well, you know you lie. I didn't do one wrong thing. You tell me, baby, why you went and left me here so lonely. I miss you only, for I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Paul Kovac, Brian Wicklin. My next guest and I played together as members of the Dry Branch Fire Squad, as allies in the Dry Branch Fire Squad for, oh, I don't know how long, 4 or 5 years, something like that. He's a great musician, a great friend, and probably the smartest guy I've ever met. Please welcome Bill Evans. Bill, I'm going to let you introduce the song.
If the smartest guy you know is a banjo player, you're in trouble. Here's a tune that we performed a couple of years ago, and we're going to play it for you again right now. What wondrous love is this, O my soul?
I will sing to
join the theme. I will sing, I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be. Throughout eternity, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. Throughout eternity, I'll sing on. Thank you. I'd like to introduce the Weems family band to you. I'm Bonnie Weems. This is my brother Lumpy over here. And I'm going to bring out my other brother. His name's Willis. Come on out, Willis. Come on. Come on. It's all right.
You're among friends.
It's okay. Probably nobody wants to hear this tune, but we're going to just go ahead and play it anyway. This is Tony Trischka. Please make him welcome. When we were setting this up, I said, well, we're going to play this. My last tune we're going to do with three banjos and nothing else. Somebody said, well, why would you do a tune with three banjos? Obviously, because we can. And since they're banjos,
get back to you in about 20 minutes.
They're banjos.
Wide world with her I could compare. So I asked if it made any difference if I crossed over the plains. She said it'd make no difference if I'd return again. She said that she'd prove true to me until I proved unkind. So we shook hands and parted and I left that girl behind. Of my heart was a girl I left behind. I rambled out one evening down on the public square. The mail had just arrived and the postboy met me there. He handed to me a letter which gave me to understand a girl I left in Carolina had married another man. Well, I come up and I didn't know what to do. My heart was filled with tumult and trouble was on my mind. I'm going to drink and gamble for the girl I left behind.
Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Suzanne Thomas, Bill Evans, and Tony Trischka. All right. There's this bluegrass band, and they're playing in a bar. And the leader of the band looks over. There's this table of rough-looking guys over here in suits. There's one really big guy, and that guy leans over to another guy, whispers in his ear. And that guy comes up to the leader of the band. He says, Big Louie wants to sing with you. Leader says, well, what's he want to sing? He says he wants to sing Footprints in the Snow. All right, we know that one. He wants to sing it in D flat. Well, we don't normally play it. I said he wants to sing it in D flat. Well, all right, I guess we got capos. We can do it in D flat. And he wants to do it in 5/4 time. Footprints in the Snow. You didn't hear me. He wants to do Footprints in the Snow. He wants to sing it in D flat. And he wants to sing it in 5/4 time. Understand? Leader says, okay, get him on up here. So Big Louie comes up. He says, hit it, boys. I found her freaking little footprints in the snow. All right. Okay, then let me introduce these next people. These are people that we have recently seen here on the stage of Augusta. Tony Trischka, who's been a gigantic influence in bluegrass banjo through the years since his days with Country Cookin' back in the 70s and Skyline in the 80s. He's got many instruction books out, as you well know, homespun tapes. He's currently playing with the Tony Trischka Band, which is an electric band playing. I said, what do you play? Everything. So there you go. And he's around a recording artist. And we're also going to have Bill Evans. Bill Evans says, I'm a Virginia native, moved to California. He had his first banjo lesson with Tony Trischka in 1978. Played with Cloud Valley in the 80s, Dry Branch Fire Squad in the 90s. And these days he's got a solo act and he's playing with Pete Rowan. He has a new recording out next week with the incredible title of Bill Evans Plays Banjo. And he's a recording artist on Mighty Fine Records. So let's bring out Tony Trischka and Bill Evans.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want genuine music, music that'll come right back home to you like a bad quarter, suffuse your system like strychnine whiskey, go right down like Brandreth's pills, and ramify your whole constitution like the measles, stand out on your hide like the pin feather pimples on a pickled goose. If you want all this, then smash your piano and invoke the glory beaming banjo. Mark Twain, 1865. Thanks very much. We're doing a little very short history of the banjo here, and that was the little bit of some minstrel banjo stylings, and that goes back into the 1850s, actually, when the very first banjo instruction books were being written. And America's first popular entertainment was minstrel music, featuring banjos and fiddles and bones and tambourine, things like that. And there's just a wealth of beautiful banjo music from back then. But we're going to move ahead just a little bit here, where things got a little more refined. There was a move to upgrade the image of the banjo, if you will, which still continues today, I might add. And banjo became basically a parlor instrument and was taken up by the ladies at the turn of the last century. And banjo players were dressing in tuxedos and playing rags like classical music and marches. And some of the very first Edison cylinders featured banjo music. They were sort of the banjo players were kind of the Britney Spears of their day, if you know what I mean.
And Tony, you know, in those days, of course, like today, the banjo was the instrument of amour. If a woman wanted to kind of make it known to her gentleman friend that she wanted to take it past the lemonade sipping stage on the Victorian porch, she would bring out the banjo and begin to play pieces such as this, kind of enhancing that undercurrent of raw sensuality that we all love about this instrument.
This is called the Kansas Jig.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm afraid I'm going to bump my head into this.
This is a tune that dates from about 1902. It was written for the banjo, for two banjos, actually. The Kansas Jig.
Oh, see, I did it. Gosh darn it.
Thanks very much. Well, Bill and I are both huge fans of the banjo, and we've had a lot of fun with our classes, I know. But people were even more zealous about the banjo back at the turn of the last century. I'm going to do a very quick dramatic reading from the writings of S.S. Stewart. This was published in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in 1888. S.S. Stewart was a banjo maker, a he wrote instruction books and was just all around, like I say, a banjo zealot. So just to give you a little feeling about how people felt about the banjo in these days, I'll read you from this dissertation by S.S. Stewart. The banjo as a solo instrument is a success. When accompanied by the guitar or piano, it is a decided success. When used as an accompaniment to the voice and singing, it is always attractive. It has ever been conceded an excellent accompaniment. When combined in numbers and sizes, banjos may be used with striking effect, formed into an orchestra or band. It also has other uses which many have not yet even dreamed of. One of them is as a medium for psychophysiological curative agency. I know, this may sound very strange to some of you, but instances of its usefulness in such direction are a matter of record. A few years ago, I preserved an account of a case where the banjo was a medium of curative power. I will here append it. It was clipped from a medical journal. A case is reported of a lady supposed to be dying of nervous exhaustion, being kept alive till she was fed and restored by the persistent efforts of her attendant village doctor, who, lacking any other musical instrument, performed unceasingly for 24 hours by her bedside on his banjo, with appropriate gestures till his patient awoke not only to life, but to a sense of the ludicrous and revived in a fit of laughter. It's all true, folks. Thank you.
That was from the year 1871, an arrangement of Home Sweet Home with variations by Frank B. Converse.
Well, we're going to continue in our banjo history and actually finish up with a Beatles medley, which seems only appropriate since John Lennon's first instrument was the banjo. It's true. His mother played five-string banjo in Liverpool, and John took up a little banjo when he was a boy. And after a little while, gave it up for the guitar, which he continued to tune like a banjo, because that was the only tuning he knew. And then Paul McCartney came along and ruined everything by teaching him how to tune it like a guitar. And we can only speculate as to how far the Beatles might have gotten had they kept the banjo in the band. Yes, and you are cordially invited to sing along or hum along on any of these tunes that you may know. The idea is...
Of course, the first job is figuring them out. It is a banjo, after all, or two banjos.
Thanks for listening, folks. Here's the Beatles medley.